All right, we're going to look into the Word again this morning.
The way of the Lord is what we've been talking about.
In Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is the strength for the upright.
Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
An upright is a person of integrity, honest, faithful, truthful, reliable. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. God has promised us that the Lord will be our strength if we will walk honestly before Him. There is not a lot of honesty in our world today. I think advertisement is a good example of that. Over and over, we see products that promise things that they just absolutely do not deliver. Salesmen sell you things based on promises that they cannot deliver. There's not a lot of truth and honesty in our world today. And I've got to tell you that I even see it creeping into the church when it comes to certain things like fundraising and just things that are promised about being a part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is power. The kingdom of God is anointing. The kingdom of God is a form and a place for blessing in the lives of God's people. However, it doesn't exempt us from the cares and the problems of this world. It just gives us someone to unload them on. Jesus, He's the one that wants to carry these burdens for us. He's the one that wants to shoulder all these difficulties. So what we're going to be talking about this morning is fear of the Lord. And maybe you don't understand the fear of the Lord, because I've talked to people about the fear of the Lord before. Let me show you the scripture that we're using. It's the one in Psalms chapter 19. It's verse 9. We read 7 through 11, and that's where I've been taking much of this teaching from. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So it's the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord is good. It's right. The fear of the Lord. Now, like I said, I've talked to people who they just don't understand the fear of the Lord, because they say, well, I'm not supposed to fear God. Well, that's true. But we're not talking about something where you tremble in the presence of Almighty God, although that probably would happen if you were actually in his presence. If he showed up here, we probably would all fall on our face in awe and reverence. But it's the fear of the Lord is not something that causes us not to want to have a relationship. Fear of the Lord drives us to a relationship with Him. The Bible, the Word of God in Timothy says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God doesn't give fear of things. But when we fear God, we have no fear of anything else. Because we fear one who has perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. The word fear, as we see it here in the Hebrew, it means terror, awesome, or terrifying thing, an object causing fear. But I want you to understand, having fear of God is not the same thing as a phobia, where you have a fear of heights, or a fear of water, or a fear of spiders, or a fear of locusts. I say that to Ivy because she hates cicada. It's not like that. It's a respect and a reverence for Almighty God and what He is capable of doing to anybody at any time. I had a great dad when I was growing up. Loved my father. I can't remember him ever actually spanking me. Maybe he did when I was young. But when he spoke, I knew he meant business. My dad, you know, when my friends would come over and dad would say something, you know, I want you to go do this or do that. He sounded kind of harsh, but he wasn't. And my friends would think, man, they would tremble in his presence. And I'd just say, oh, that's just my dad. No big deal. But this is what I realized, that my dad, the kind of person that he was, that I did not want to get out of line. I didn't want to cross over the line that he drew in the sand. Not because my great fear of him as a person, but my fear of his authority over me. Now, because of the person he was, I had no fear of anybody coming into our house and taking advantage of us. My dad would take care of it. I had no fear of any issues or problems with other people, because if I had a problem, my dad would take care of it. I had no fear of the world because my dad was the protector of our household. You see, that's the when I have a fear, a reverence for my dad, it casts out all these other fears. And when we have that kind of reverence and fear for Almighty God, we can walk before God Himself in a position of knowing who we are. We are a son, we are a daughter of the Most High God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are prince and princess. We are priests and kings. I'm just pulling from scripture that I know. I'm telling you who you are in Christ. And your God is on your side, your King. And if you fear Him in the right perspective, a reverence, a holy reverence of who He is and what He is capable of, it will help keep you in line. I think part of the problem with the church today is that we don't have that kind of fear of God anymore. We've been told that God is this candy man that gives us anything we want and no consequences for our actions. It's not true. God wants to bless you. He loves you. He wants to direct you. He wants to keep you, protect you. But you must recognize His holiness, His reverence, His ability to do anything and whatever He wants. What a God He is. I hope that I'm giving you a picture of what it means to really have a healthy fear of God so that we don't have to fear anything else. One comedian said, my greatest fear is that on Judgment Day, I'm going to stand before God and all of a sudden God sneezes and I won't know what to say. Isn't that stupid? I thought it was kind of crazy, but if that's all you fear, you're in good shape. It's God. Is Jim doing all right? Okay. Well, let's stop right now and pray for Jim. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for touching Jim. In Jesus' name. We rebuke that dizziness. We rebuke the sickness. We thank you, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for your power and your touch upon his body. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're looking at the fear of the Lord. And I just want to go share four quick things with you this morning about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord increases knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I think what we need to try to pull from this is to understand that the fear of the Lord causes us to increase and seek out knowledge, the knowledge of the Word of God. When you get the knowledge of the Word of God, it increases wisdom. When you understand the power that is in this Word, you will seek out the knowledge that is in it. It will change your life. But the fear of the Lord causes us and drives us to that. Abraham was a great man that was called of God. He was considered a father of faith. And God took Abraham, he took him out of his environment, and he sent him into the promised land, a land where he had no idea where he was going or what he was doing. He just understood he was following God. I got to tell you, there's been so many times in my life that I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going, but God. I was just following God. Tammy and I followed God to Athens to work at Children's Services. We followed God to start a group, and we didn't know what we were doing. It was like, I look back on it, if I had the knowledge that I have right now, I would have never done something so stupid. We took on this house, a 6,000 square foot home that needed completely remodeled. I thought I could do that all by myself. Crazy. We finished that and we brought in teenagers, troubled teenagers, some of them from the Department of Youth Services, and ministered to them. Man. Craziness. It was good, though. It was God. You know, we came back to Meigs County to pastor a church and went through all kinds of stuff. And here we are in this great building. Praise God that he's provided this for us. I cannot do these things that God gives me an unction to do. He's stirring my spirit to do something now. I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about or what the direction that he totally wants us to go. I just know that he's saying, do this. Do this thing. It's hard. At this point in ministry, I've learned that it's not going to be as easy as I used to think it was going to be. It's going to be hard. But it's worth it. It's worth it if you hear the voice of God and you fear Him enough to know that He has your best interest at heart. That's part of this fear thing that I'm talking about. It's not a tremble in your shoes. It's an awe and reverence of a mighty God. I desire to be in His will more than anything else in my life. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Abraham was called of God. Now here, I know we think it was all about faith, but here's what I want you to understand. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, after God had called Abraham, it says, Abraham he was called of God. He did what God called him to do. He had the son of promise, Isaac. And he loved that son. And God spoke to him and said, take your son and sacrifice him. Sacrifice your son. Now, we think that was faith, that he took Isaac, and he went up on the mountain, and he was preparing to sacrifice his son because he believed in God. But here's what Genesis says. When he was ready to plunge the knife into his heart, the angel stopped him. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You see, when we fear God, the right kind of fear, that reverence, that recognition of his power and his holiness, we will not withhold anything from him. What is it you're holding on to this morning? What are you grasping? What do you love so much that it's difficult for you to let go of it? It's difficult for you to take it up on that mountain and get ready to sacrifice it to the Lord. It says it was because of his fear of God. Not just his faith. He feared God. That's knowledge and that's wisdom. That's what we're looking for. People who understand that we have an awesome and mighty God. And if we will recognize that, we will walk before him in holiness and fear, we will see the power of God manifest in our lives and in this place. You know, sometimes the fear of punishment motivates better than anything else. How many of you have ever been in a car and you've been speeding? All right, and suddenly you see a police officer, state highway patrol, or, you know, whatever. You know, it's been a few years ago. I think the only ticket Tammy ever got was they changed the speed limit in Pomeroy, and she was driving a little fast going through there, not even realizing that she was going over the speed limit. They nabbed her. She's still trying to make excuses for that. But you know, as soon as I see, and I'm kind of bad about this. I do go over the speed limit. And I usually don't repent of it either. I just do it. My conscience, who sits beside of me, usually lets me know that I'm going over the speed limit. The Holy Spirit that's real close to me.
Glory to God.
Yes, amen. But isn't there, when you're driving over the speed limit and you realize it and you see this police officer, isn't there a fear that just rises up inside of you? Oh, no. And what do? You slow down immediately. It's too late, but you slow down. You can't do anything about it now. We are motivated by fear sometimes. It keeps us in line. It's important. You know, I was reading a story about a mother who was upset about people driving so fast past the school. So what she did was she took her car and she set it outside of the school where people were driving by, and she took her hair dryer and she pointed it. It was amazing how it worked. People thought she was tracking their speed. It slowed them down. How many have ever seen these speed radar signs? You know, you look up the speed, the sign above it says speed limit 25, and you're running 35. What do you do immediately? You start slowing down, don't you? You slow down, you look around, you see the sign, you're thinking, well, maybe somebody's watching. other than just a sign. You know, those things are incredibly efficient. Studies show that more than 80% of drivers slow down when they see one of those things. It's just a reminder. It's a reminder that, hey, you're out of line, get back in line. It reminds us of the fear that we might get a ticket. I've had numerous tickets in my time. From the time that I was a teenager until, I won't tell you how recent it was. It's always painful. It reminds me, Rob, why are you being so belligerent? Why are you being a rebellious idiot and driving over the speed limit? Cost you 100, 125. It's been a little while, so I don't know what they cost now. But it's up there, I'm sure. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to give my money away like that. So it's a reminder. And fear of God is a reminder that our God wants us to walk the line. Does that mean that he's going to condemn us when we fall, we make mistakes? Absolutely not. He's a God of mercy and grace. Hallelujah. But he's looking for a people who are trying to walk the line. He's looking for a people who desire to please him. It's not about this punishment that's going to come upon us. It's about our love for our God. And whether we desire to stay within the speed limit or not. Because when you get outside of that speed limit, it can be painful. This is all about what's good for you, for me, for us as people. Our God loves us that much. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. The second thing is the fear of the Lord must be taught. We've got to be taught the fear of the Lord. It's not a normal thing for people just to fear the Lord. We have to pass it on to generation after generation. Some of you young people in here this morning, you need to walk with the fear of the Lord. If you're going off to college, you're getting ready to go back to school this fall, high school, or whatever it is. God wants you to walk with the fear of the Lord. He wants you to be an example to other people. He wants you to say, oh, wait a minute. You know, your friends are going, there's going to be peer pressure that says you should do this or go this way or wear these clothes or act a certain way. And you're going to say, oh, wait a minute. Does this please God? That's what's most important, is your fear and reverence and your desire to please the living God. Psalms 34:11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I want to teach you the fear of the Lord. And it goes on to say, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? One who keeps his tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Church, listen to what the Word of God is saying. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. If you love it, you'll eat the fruit of it. Good fruit if you love it. If you recognize the power that is in this thing. It gets out of control sometimes. Too many Christians of our day seem to be totally unconcerned with the need to be conformed to the image of Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Word of God tells us. Even the church thinks that we can do whatever we want to do and God will just wink at it. The church is living pretty much the same way the world's living. According to Barna research, there is no significant difference in the lifestyle of Christians within the church than those unbelievers outside the church. That's sad. That is sad. I can tell you there was a day in the history of our nation, many different times, where though there was a complete and total difference. We need to get back to that. That's why we need revival in our land. That's why we need to see the move of God. That's why the power of God must come upon the people of the church first. That the church will recognize that we have to repent and seek the face of God and pray and ask forgiveness and to get right with our God. As a whole, we've rejected the absolute standards of right and wrong. How many have ever heard the or read the book, or maybe even heard some tapes, because I know they were out there at one time. I believe I've heard them, C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. It's an interesting story that actually talks about Screwtape, who is a lead demon training his nephew. And he, in this story, it's pretty interesting. He says this to his nephew: "Religion can still send us the truly delicious sins. The fine flower of unholiness can grow only in the close neighborhood of the holy. Nowhere do we tempt more successfully as on the very steps of the altar." In other words, we come right into the church and we tempt God's people, and God's people fall for it. God's desire is for us to raise up a higher standard, to live by the power of God in our daily lives, to walk in a way that other people will see the light that is emanating from us. They'll know that it's not coming from something that we have manufactured. It comes from a relationship that we have with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back soon. I keep telling everybody, get ready. Jesus is coming. I know we've heard this for centuries, but it's true. Look at our world. Look at the things that are happening. Look around. Don't fear, but recognize these are signs of the times. Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready. The third thing, the fear of the Lord produces fruit. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." When we fear the Lord, our life will produce this fruit. Fruit that is evident wherever we go. Fruit that our family sees. Listen, if you're not producing this fruit in your family, you're not going to produce it anyplace else. Let's get our families right. First, let's start loving our spouse. Let's start training and loving our children. Let's start embracing the things of God in our household. Let's stop allowing things that are ungodly and holy come into our house through the TV set. Thank God somebody agrees. Check your radio station. What are you listening to? What kind of magazines do you have in your house? What kind of articles are you allowing coming in your door? What is happening in your family? Are you guarding the house, the gate of your household? It is very, very important in this day and time. Be careful what you allow in your house. Produce fruit worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher was walking down the street. A drunk staggered up to him and said, "Oh, preacher, look at me. I'm one of your converts." The preacher looked at him and he said, "Yeah, you look like one of mine. You're certainly not one of the Lord's." I don't want to make converts. I want to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear of the Lord will produce that kind of fruit, I believe. My desire is to see that happen here in our area, all around. In West Virginia, Southern West Virginia, they're having a revival going on down there. Young people are coming to the Lord. Hundreds at one time came to the Lord Jesus Christ, made a commitment to Christ. What causes that? I'll tell you, it's not some person who has charismatic ability standing up before them and speaking wonderful words. It's the power of God that causes that to happen. It can only be. Because if we try to do things like that in our own power, it falls short. We've got to see the move of God because the power of God, because the fear of God is in our hearts. Let it happen here in this place. Let God move today and from this day forward to touch the hearts and the lives of all people, but particularly our young people, the next generation that's going to lead and direct this country. They need the power of God. For the fear that they're going to face in a world that is out of control can only be overcome by the true fear of the Lord. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is the fear of the Lord releases blessings. Psalms 115, verse 13. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. It doesn't matter what your stature is. He will bless you. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. God, this is God's word to His people. He promises that if we have a fear, a holy reverence for Him, that He will take care of us. He will bless us. In Luke, in the New Testament, Jesus tells the disciples, you know, gotta follow me, give up everything. And Peter said to him, we have given up everything to follow you. And here's what he said to them in verse 32. Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Now, I wish I could stand up here and say, I completely understand what Jesus was saying. He was saying that whatever we give up, we're going to get 100-fold of it here in this world. But that doesn't always seem to work out exactly that way. However, what we do know is that according to this scripture, Jesus is saying, if you want to be in God's will, you're going to give up everything and follow me. And I will take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, God has promised blessings in this world and in this life. There is no doubt about it. He's promised that He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us. He's going to keep us. And we've got to believe that with all our heart. You've got to believe that when God speaks to you and says give, that the word of God is true. He's going to give back to you. That men's going to give unto your bosom. I stand up here before you this morning telling you that I believe it and I've lived it all my Christian life. Pretty much since I learned these principles. I live it, I believe it, and I trust it. Does it always look like it's going to work out? No. But my God is great. My God is powerful. My God is my provider in all things. And then most importantly, there's going to be a time in eternity where I'm going to receive some rewards. We're all going to receive rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, the place where the judge, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to judge His people. He's talking about the people of God. Each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Believe it or not, believers, you're going to be judged for the things that you've done in this world, in this time. That doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. That's intact. You are saved. You will enter into heaven because Jesus paid the price for your sins and you believe it. That's the reward we get, is heaven. But according to the scripture and others, there's going to be a reward system for those who are actively involved in ministry that God has called them to. It's not going to be based on how many people you bring into the kingdom. It's going to be based on your faithfulness to do what God has called you to do. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. That means that I don't have to compete with anybody but me. Based on what God has called me to do, I just have to do what I can with the ability that I have to accomplish God's will. And you know, me and Billy Graham may be standing side by side, and God's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." That's what I want to hear. And I don't know how this thing's going to work. I don't know. Maybe some people are just going to, you know, you're going to get into heaven, but you're going to be a street sweeper. I don't know. And some people are going to roll over cities. I don't know how it's going to work. But I want to tell you, once you're there, you're not going to care what you're doing. I care now. And I want you to think about it now. Because when we're there, it's over. We're just doing. We're going to be about the kingdom. But I think about these things because I want to be pleasing to my Father. I have a reverence, a holy fear of my God, enough to know that He's going to reward me. My dad would reward me for doing good and punish me for doing wrong. That's an awesome God we serve. You know, He gives us this example in the earth. So as we think about all these things that we talked about this morning, the fear, and in the Greek, fear is a terror. It's actually recognizing how awesome God is. When we recognize this, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ will be a different place. The Church of Jesus Christ will take a stand. The Church of Jesus Christ can stand against anything that the world throws at us. The English preacher, John Daniel Jones, he lived in the late 1800s. He said this: "To make our religious life deep and strong, we need to recover that lost sense of awe. We need to be taught afresh the fear of the Lord. And to recover that lost sense of awe, to create a feeling of reverence, we need a fresh vision of God as the holy sovereign. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble." Why should the nations tremble? Because He's holy. He's powerful. We have only to realize that God is the only sovereign and that the all is bound to come back. The will that rules is the holy will of God. The power that governs is a holy power of God. All who sin bring themselves into collision with the sovereign will and power of the universe. Those are elegant words. I read that because I can't speak like that. But they're powerful. Are we in awe of our God? That's what we need. That's what we must have from this time forward. That's a holy fear of God. That's the kind of reverence He's calling us to. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. As we go from this place, we're just so thankful, Lord. what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for touching your people. Lord, our desire is to be all that you want us to be. You're a holy, awesome God. I fear you, Father, because I know your power. I love you. I reach out to you because I know your grace and your peace. Draw us into your bosom, Lord, that we will experience every facet of who you are, to know you, to embrace you, to walk before you with the blessings that you intend for your people. Lord, today we proclaim your kingdom in this place and in the lives of your people. Raise us up. Send us forth, Father, as we go out to proclaim your word, to touch the lives of people. The harvest is plenteous, Father God. I know it's ready. It's white unto harvest. Call your people to be prepared to harvest. Thank you for your direction, your strength. And Father God, we bless the food that we're going to be partaking of today at our Fun Fest. We bless this place. We thank you for peace and safety. Protect the children. Protect your people. Lord, that we're going to have an awesome time of fellowship and fun today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like prayer for healing, or I'd like to have the prayer warriors come up.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.